So we're going to resume Acts and next week finish Acts. And then I'll take a week off after that. And Pastor Jacob will be here with you. But I was excited to take a break from Acts as we looked at Christmas, Jesus Emmanuel, and Jesus our Redeemer. But now here we are. We've celebrated Christmas. Don't forget Christmas. Let that live in you every day that a Savior was born and Jesus is your Redeemer. Serve Him daily and thank Him for that gift. But our last message in Acts was looking at Paul, if you remember, before Felix, before Festus, and before Agrippa, all right? How they wasted, remember, their opportunity to be saved. But Paul, what did he do? He took every opportunity he had to share Jesus Christ whenever that opportunity presented itself. And we had a challenge. So my question to you is, have you been working on your testimony? Don't raise your hands. Have you been working on it, or have you done nothing with it? You know, that's between you and the Lord. Have you been taking advantage of your opportunities to invite somebody to hear the word or to share Jesus Christ with someone? Or are we still kind of wasting those opportunities? Well, I pray you're taking advantage of them. I pray that you're seeing great growth in this area in your life. But here we are. We're coming to the beginning of 2022. How many of you are excited for the beginning of 2022? Yeah, I can remember 22 years ago, I had a bunch of jugs of water in the garage because, you know, all the lights were going and no water. You remember all that? Oh, mercy. 22 years have gone by. And here we are coming to the beginning of the new year. And quite fitting, just in God's sovereignty, because I don't plan all this out as much as you may think. We let the scripture land where we land. But quite fitting, we're going to finish the series of Acts, the Church on the Move, this week and next week as we look to the new year. This week and next week, we're going to look at the end of Acts that I believe will have great impact on the church, should have great impact in your life as we move into the new year. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you know that in 2022, when you look at the weather, we are going to have some storms? Right? Do any of you actually think that we're going to get through the whole 365 days with no thunderstorms, no tornadoes, no hurricanes popping up, no snow, no ice storms? Do we really think we're going to make it through all of 2022 with 365 days of sunshine? I mean, we live where? Indiana. In Indiana. We know better. The answer to that is not a chance. Well, guess what? So goes the same with life. Our title this morning is The Coming Storm. The Coming Storm. We know through Jesus Himself that life is filled with trials. Life is filled with storms, right? You know, I do not know what the future holds, nor can I predict it, nor can I stop it. There are no such truths from mediums, crystal balls, nor are there any more modern-day prophets, nor any more modern-day apostles. And those who claim to be prophets and apostles, they're liars and wolves in sheep's clothing. We saw that in Acts early on. So I can't predict the future, but I do know this. All of 2022 will be filled with nothing but the blessings of the Lord. Say what? Wait a minute, Pastor. How can you say the whole year will be filled with nothing but the blessings of the Lord? Well, I can say that. You can say that because we know that all blessings from the Lord are just that. Whether they are the blessings that make us happy. How many of you like those blessings? Or they come in the form of hardship. Or they come in the form of trials. The storms of life, even those are blessings from the Lord in our growth. and what God's doing in our life, and to magnify Him and His glory. Jesus tells us life will be full of trials. I mean, look back over this last year of 2021. Look at the sorrow that came in the lives of those that we love. Maybe sorrow that came into your own very life. You can look around in people you know, right here in the church body, outside in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your friendships, in your families, and you can look at many individual trials that people went through. Or look back and see your own trials in 2021. Even trials that come without expectation. How many of you like those trials? You don't even have a warning. They just come upon you. Guess what? 2022 is going to be no different. It's amazing. We live our whole life and we think the next year is going to be different than the one we're in. We're still in life. And we need to expect that. And we as a church and as individuals, we will face these trials. We will face storms. But I do know this. Whether it's in our nation, our collective lives here at EC Grace, or individually, storms are coming. Storms are on the way. To some of you, you may see them on the horizon already. To others, you may not see them at all. To others, you may even be in one as we speak. But I know with the Lord leading the way, and us with a desire to be a church on the move, following the Master. It's not, we don't want just bad movement. We want good movement following the Master. We will come safely through the storms ahead. Do you believe this? Amen? If we had our way in life, think about this. We would wish for calm seas. We would wish for sunny days. I mean, who wouldn't wish for that? I mean, that's what we choose when we go on vacay, right? I mean, we want calm, beautiful, tranquil. But of course, that's not the way life generally works. We know that stormy seas are a part of life. They're a part of life. The longer you're on that ocean, the more you know this. The Bible uses stormy seas as an analogy quite often. It speaks of those caught up in the storm at sea. In Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30, we read of those who go down to the sea in ships, and when the stormy wind and waves threaten to drive them into death and destroy them and sink them, they cried out to the Lord, it says, who caused the storms to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed, and He guided them to their desired haven. We see twice in the Bible, in the Gospels, the disciples, remember, were caught up in terrible storms at sea, in the Sea of Galilee, and yet when the wind and the waves threatened to destroy them, when they thought they were going to drown and die, there was Jesus Himself who calmed the sea. He hushed the waves, and He guided them safely to their destination. We see this throughout Scripture. Our lives are often like a sea voyage. And our lives are often described as a sea voyage. I mean, think about this. We wish others, hey, smooth sailing. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever used that? Smooth sailing. And we sing of reaching those golden shores. Well, that means we're out to sea. And one day we wished to be on those golden shores. Well, guess what? One day we will be, right? Well, during the fearful days of the height of World War II, when the stress and the strain of daily living were overwhelming, a stay-at-home housewife, her name Ruth K. Jones, she likened our lives to being a sea or a sea voyage. She sat down and she wrote a hymn that George Beverly Shea popularized during the Billy Graham Crusades, and it's called In Times Like These. And she says this, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And just to clarify, this rock is Jesus. You remember that song? You see, the Scriptures foretell us. They warn us. that the world conditions will continue to get worse and worse as we approach the end of this age and the return of Christ. There will come a day when the church sails into the end times and the rapture of Jesus Christ. Storms are on the way. There will be increasing violence, increasing lawlessness, increasing immorality, increasing drugs. The occult will rise. Shocking and unashamed immorality, unimaginable. And it will be accompanied by the church filled with false teachers. The storms ahead. But praise God, right? Do we have all kinds of things to praise God for? In times like these, we have an anchor. Jesus, who will bring us safely through the storms of life. So here we are, quite fitting. It's the passage in the scripture that is driving the message. So you may say, wait a minute, we're going into New Year's with the New Year's message warning of the negativity of storms? What about all the encouragement? Yo, rah, rah, we're going to do this. Rah, rah, be this. No, here's where we are in the text. So let's let the text drive the message. Amen? We need to hear this. In our passage this morning, we're going to look in times like these, this anchor, Jesus Christ. In Acts 27, we're going to see the Apostle Paul is caught up in a very violent, terrible storm. The passage says the ship he was on was being violently storm-tossed. Not just storm-tossed. The text tells us it's violently. This is a violent storm they're in. That Paul said this, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Look at these verses, verses 18 through 20. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Wow. Yet the chapter ends amazingly with a threefold note of triumph. Let's look at that, verse 43 and 44 and 28, verse 1. Wanting to bring Paul safely through, verse 44, and so it happened that they were all brought safely to land. 28, 1, when they had been brought safely through. That's what the Lord wants us to see. All were brought safely through this violent storm where all hope was gone. You know, the sea will calm again. Here is Malta. Myself and Seed and Feed team that went to Malta, there we are standing on the shore of Malta taking a picture out into the Mediterranean. You'll see right up left that little plot of land. That is where it's believed that the Apostle Paul was grounded ashore and where this happened. Here's the closer look. That monument is where they believe Paul and the crew came ashore. So out there, they're storm-tossed and they're swimming for their lives, and that's where they come upon shore. This is a notorious area of major storms and sunken ships. You know, whatever storms, everyone, you are in right now, or whatever storms you may face in the future, or whatever we may face as a church in the days ahead, there are three things today that I want to share with you from the Apostle Paul that you can carry with you in your storms. Three things we must remember when the storm is on us. Three things which will calm our fears, strengthen our resolve, and confirm our hopes. In storms, we need resolve strengthened. We need our fears calmed. We need our hope encouraged. And what for? To know that you will come safely through the storm ahead. So as you recall from last week, 2 weeks ago, Paul had appealed to Caesar in Acts 25, verse 11. Rather than go back to Jerusalem and stand trial before the jury of the Jews who hated him, that he knew were out to kill him, he makes an appeal to Caesar. And at that time, the Roman governors, Festus, Felix, and King Agrippa, they found nothing Paul did, it said in the text, worthy of death. Remember this? And he actually said he might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar in Acts 26:32, that God was going to bring Paul to Rome. Chapter 27 opens with plans being made now sail to Italy, to sail on to Rome. Notice something, that we is back. You see that word we? It indicates that Luke, the author, is with Paul on this journey as well as Aristarchus. So here the we are. Luke, Paul, Aristarchus, they're setting out. A faithful companion they were to Paul, mentioned earlier in chapter 19 and verse 29, chapter 20 and verse 4. So here we have Paul, along with the prisoners, passengers, and crew. They totaled together 276 persons, it tells us in chapter 27, verse 37. So there's 276 on this ship. And let's take a brief look at what happened. So they first take this small ship out of Caesarea, where Paul had been imprisoned for 2 years, to Sidon. And from there to Myra in Asia, where they transferred to a larger Alexandrian ship, and verse 6, sailing for Italy. The ship made its way with much difficulty, the word tells us, due to heavy winds, to the port of Fair Haven on the island of Crete. You'll see it right there. So they had a struggle getting down to Crete. They're in strong winds, and they get there to Fair Haven. Verse 9 tells us that the journey was dangerous since the fast was already over. You see, there are only 2 fasts at all prescribed by the law, which was on the Day of Atonement, which in that year, 59 AD, was October 5th. Here they are in October. The ancients of that day considered the dangerous, quote, season for sailing to be between September 14th and November 11th. Past that, no one sailed on the sea. No one. You were not going to make it. They were in the middle of the dangerous season, and it was not wise for them to be on this voyage. But despite the name Fair Haven, it's not the best harbor, the word says, to lay over for the winter. So the captain does not want to lay over in Fair Haven. So he decided, and go look at verse 10, against Paul's strong warning not to set out. Paul's strong warning, don't do it, don't go. The captain decided against his objection to sail for a safer harbor in Phoenix in the northwest end of the island, just 40 miles away. I mean, it's just 40 miles. We just got to go up to the part of the island, and we can harbor there for the winter. It's only 40 miles. We're going to stay close to the shoreline. We can do it. Paul's like, no, I wouldn't do it. The result of that poor decision was that their ship was caught up in a violent wind. Before you move to that, yeah, in a violent wind. So they leave Fair Haven. They're just trying to go over to Phoenix. But they get swept out to sea. Now they can't control the ship. This violent wind in verse 14 is the English word typhoon. So they're in it. They didn't make it that 40 miles. They made it a lot further than 40 miles, but they're swept out to sea, being unable to steer. It says, the mercy of the storm, they were driven along and blown out to sea, where it says in verse 20, all hope of being saved was gradually abandoned. Imagine being in this situation. It was then in that, what says, seemingly hopeless situation that the Apostle Paul did something amazing. He stood up in their midst to encourage them and in doing so, expressed three things about himself that we need to remember and express those three things in ourselves when we too are in the violent storm. Let's look at it. First, he said, I belong to God. I belong to God. Let's read verses 22 through 26. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men. They're in this violent storm. For I believe, God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island. Here we go. What did he say in verse 23? The God to whom I belong. How precious and comforting is that if you can truly place yourself in this storm where all hope is lost, or you know the storms you've gone through in life, to know that I belong to God. You see, during the storm, wind, and waves, when all seemed lost and hopeless, Paul reaffirms for his own heart and he proclaimed to them, I belong to God. He did not say, we belong to God. Did you notice that? They were all on the same boat. There's a lesson there. And they were all in the storm. You see, there's times where storms and trials hit everybody, the lost and saved alike. But when you're in that situation, I belong to God means something. Paul was in a special class with an all who were there in that storm. Paul belonged to God. They did not. They did not know Christ as their Savior. Paul was a believer saved by the very grace of God. Paul was in Christ. Paul had been adopted as a child of God. He has an inheritance. He's a new person. He's been transformed. And he could say, I belong to the Father. I belong to God. You know, it's in our storms where we lose perspective, is it not? It's in our storms we can lose our perspective and we can so easily succumb to some really poor thinking and forget what is most important. We can get so wrapped up in what belongs to us, what we fear we might lose in the storm. We might lose our stuff. We might lose our health. I may lose my loved one. I may lose my house. I may lose my freedom. I may lose my plan. I may even lose my life. That we forget or we minimize one of the most precious truths to the believer, which is not about losing what belongs to us, but that we belong to God who will never lose us. Isn't that precious? Jesus said, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Believe me, there's no one who can unrecord them if they've been recorded. You belong to God. He will never lose you. You are saved by his grace. You are a child of the King of Kings. You are sealed in the Holy Spirit. You are heirs of salvation. We are objects of his love. Isn't that amazing? That is the joy that ought to take us through any and every storm. But often, that isn't much comfort to many believers in America. You know, heaven doesn't look so good when we have it so good here. We have it good, everyone, by God's grace. But storms and trials have a way of changing all that, do they not? And bringing to the surface what is most important, what is most precious, that I belong to you, God. I belong to you. I need to trust in you. And when we do that, it encourages us and it takes us along our way. And Paul expressed three things about himself that we need to remember. He expressed to ourselves, one, don't ever forget in your storm that you belong to God. Second, you must remember this. I serve God. I serve God. In verse 23b, whom I serve. Paul often referred to himself as what? A bondservant of Christ Jesus. You know, I can remember leading a man to the Lord, and he started out on fire. And I had no idea, but one day he came to me and said, hey, check it out. Pulled his shirt off. I mean, whoop, everything. He said, look, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ, shoulder blade to shoulder blade, even ran off his shoulders. He turned out to turn on Christ, leave the Lord. I said, you know, dude, you better keep that shirt on or go ahead and get that, just, you know, get a skin graft, rip that off because you're wearing a lie on your back. Bondservant. It's more than a tattoo. It's who we are in our heart. A quick glance through the New Testament reveals this. This is how the movers and the shakers of the church were described. This is how the people God used in mighty ways were often described. Peter, James, John, Luke, Jude, Epaphras, Tychicus, all said as bondservants of Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:29, the whole early church, how they view themselves, the entire church viewed themselves as bondservants whose mission it was to serve God. It was to glorify Him and to be a witness for Him throughout the world. Guess what? No matter the cost. Let's not lose sight of this precious truth. God does not exist to serve us. This means that in whatever state or storm God brings us into, we are to serve Him then and there. It is in that storm God has called you to serve Him right then, right there. It's not to take a vacation from service. It's to serve Him now. What is God's plan for me in this storm? God owes us nothing. We saw this at Christmas. We owe Him everything, right on? We owe Him everything. Let the world look to be served, but let God's children look to serve Him. Let's serve Him in the sunny days. Let's serve Him in those calm days. Let's serve Him in the cloudy days. But let's especially serve Him in those storms of life. It's the storms, everyone, that reveal the true character of self-sacrifice. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2, coming alive in the storm. It's authentic loyalty to Christ. Think about this. Paul had already endured 3 shipwrecks at this point and once spent all day and all night floating at sea. Wow. You would think that after 2 years of being in prison now, and after all that, that God would at least give him a calm sea for this voyage, give him a nice sail to contemplate, to meditate, to prepare himself for Rome. But Paul, notice, never once questioned this storm. He just remembered his purpose. He remembered his purpose in life was to serve God, not himself. And in this is where God, for the moment, chose for Paul to serve him in the storm. And so to those who had no hope, God now starts using Paul in this storm for his glory to encourage them. Look at verse 22, 25, 33, and 34. Yet now I urge you, keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. Verse 34, therefore, I encourage you, take some food. He's encouraging them in the middle of the storm. Look at verse 35. What happened? He took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. Imagine that. He's living out his faith in the storm in front of the faithless. I encourage you. I encourage you. I encourage you. Now eat. And before he ate, he gives praise to the God, the one and only true God to whom he belongs, and he begins to eat. What a testimony. I wonder how God was using him in this storm. What was the result of that? Verse 36, all of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The power of a faithful walk in the storm. Maybe many of you have heard of her, Corrie Ten Boom. And her family helped harbor and escape hundreds of Jews during the Holocaust from the Nazis in World War II. They were turned in 1944, and her whole family, 10 of them, were sent to concentration camps. It was in those camps early on that her 84-year-old dad died shortly in those camps. There was her first loss. Corrie and her sister Betsy were remanded to the notorious Ravensbrück concentration camp near Berlin. Betsy died there, her sister, December 16, 1944. And there in Corrie's storm, she served God and she started leading Bible studies that touched many lives of those who came to know Christ as their Savior in desperate times. She went on to get out of that concentration camp and be used mightily, mightily by the Lord, even in her book, Hiding Places. How many of you have ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? In 1967, she dove into the waters of the Chesapeake Bay as a young, healthy teenager, and she broke her neck and became a quadriplegic. She trained herself to paint beautiful artwork with her mouth. Yet she is in her storm served God, authoring over 40 books to the encouragement of the multitudes, bringing many people to a saving knowledge of Christ. Pastor Simon Peter Attudo, I talk to him every other day, sometimes every day. Here is a man confined to a tricycle because he's paralyzed, yet he can wheel himself by hand 10 miles one way to plant a church, and who has planted churches throughout Africa and Uganda, who has trained many pastors in the Word of God and has led many to Christ and never complains. Many of you here right now have had storms in your life full of sorrow where you faithfully serve the Lord. We have people here right now. I think of Eldon and Sandy and the great trial of losing 3 beautiful children, only to the glory of God to be used mightily for God's service, impacting multitudes. Many of you have these stories of faithful service where you've been used by God in mighty ways in the storm. We are here to serve God. We are here to glorify Him in the sunny days and the stormy days, in our sickness and in our health, in our poverty or in our wealth, in the days of pleasure and in the days of persecution, whether you're on the bedroom bed or you're on the hospital bed. We are called to serve God and Him alone in all circumstances because He has a plan and purpose for us. In the storm, stay at the wheel and keep serving the Lord. But just look her on. But keep serving. Stay at the wheel. You know, along with Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus, I believe we will see some of these 273 remaining men and prisoners in heaven one day. I really believe we're going to meet some of these men and what Paul did in his testimony and example. Because Paul chose to remember that I belong to God. He chose to remember that he was here to serve God in this place, in this situation that God put him to. And he said, I belong to God, and I serve God, and I got one more thing for you. I believe God. I believe God, verse 25. You see, God, he sent him an angel to calm Paul's fears, remember, and reaffirm what the Lord told him over 2 years earlier in Acts 23:11, that he must stand before Caesar. No matter how bad this storm looked, he was going to go to Rome, everyone. He was not going to perish at sea. Furthermore, the angel just told him everybody on board was also going to make it through. Though the ship would run aground, everyone would make it through. Do you see something very precious here? Paul was not alone in the storm. You are not alone in your storm. God was watching over him. God was with him, working out his sovereign plan in his life. God determined that Paul would go to Rome. God determined that everyone would be saved from dying at sea. It was God who determined that the ship would run aground. It was God who determined that certain island the ship would run aground on would be Malta in 28:1. We need to remember something. Hear me now. No matter what happens the rest of this year and into 2022, you are never, never alone in any storm as a child of God. He is watching over you. He is caring for you. He is controlling everything to accomplish his purpose according to his plan in your life. That is precious. Look at Paul's words. I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Not somewhat, not, hey, 80%, exactly as I have been told. You know, I don't know about you, but there are times, especially in leadership, where I wish God would send an angel to tell me exactly what to do. Tell me, Lord, exactly what I'm to do. But he doesn't do that. But he does say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Amen? Do you believe that? He does say, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And how many of you know that his riches are unending? Do you believe that? He does say all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe this? You see, God will finish what he started, for I am confident of this, Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you believe this? Do you think it's important to know this in your storm? I could go on, but the bottom line is this. Do you believe that everything the Lord God promises you will turn out exactly as you have been told by him in his word? So how many of the 276 made it through? All of them. Every last one. Just as God said. I love this verse in 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you believe that? How many of us who belong to the Lord by his grace and serve him to his glory will make it safely through to heaven's shores? How many of us who are born again, truly saved by Jesus Christ, are going to make it into his presence one day? Exactly as he has said. Praise God. I believe God. Do you? But in the meantime, when the storms of life come our way, we must also remember something very important I don't want you to overlook. You see, though God has a predetermined plan, it does not absolve us of our responsibility to do the best we can. What are these old boys doing on that picture? God said all would be saved, but they all still swam for their lives. They all still clung to boards until they were brought safely to shore. You see, we have to be about doing the work and serving, and God's plan and his predestination of what he's going to do, his predetermined plan, will come to pass. But God's sovereignty and our work together for his glory. We do not get to say, I'm going to do nothing, and God's just going to poof me out of here. We must keep swimming. God will take care of the rest. But the final emphasis, though it incorporates man's struggle and effort, is truly on God's sovereignty. It says, all were brought, that's passive, safely through by God. Don't overlook these important things of Scripture. All were brought. God made it happen. Amen. So as we individually and collectively voyage in the sea of life in 2022, have no fear. Go confidently into the future with the Lord. But when the storms do come, and they will, remember and apply these three examples. Write these down. In our storms, let's say with the Apostle Paul, I belong to God, which means in your storm, remember who you belong to. That is precious. Then I serve God, which means in your storm, remember what you are here for. That is purpose. And then I believe God, which means in your storm, remember who is here for you. And that is peace. You see, in your storm, it can be precious with purpose, filled with peace. Amen? Remember this as we go together as a church into the future. Remember this in your life and in your marriages, in your relationships, in your friendships, in your walk with Christ. But let me say something this morning as we close. If belonging to him is not precious to your soul, if serving him is not the purpose of your life, if believing him is difficult in your storm and you know Christ, then put the fuel in your engines because you need to feed your faith. You need to feed your faith. Starting now, everyone, get into the Word of God every day. You need to be reading of his great deliverances of the past so that you know that he can bring you safely through your storm now. Feast on the Lord's promises that can calm your heart in the storm. You need to be reading of the glories to come to those that belong to him so that you can say from your heart like Paul, in all your trials, the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come. Read of his love for you. Read of his compassion for you. Read of his care. Read of his wisdom and discernment so that you will never doubt him, even when you don't understand his ways. Feed your faith until your confidence in God sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and expects the impossible, because that is our Lord. Do you really see the invisible, believe the incredible, and expect the impossible with God? You can have that in your storm, but you must feed your faith. You must dive into the Word of God every day, a faith that will enable you to be what you ought to be and to do what you ought to do, no matter what storm you may find yourself in, knowing that he will bring me safely through in his way and in his timing for his glory, and may I be used to serve you, for I belong to you, and I serve you, and I believe everything you say, Lord. So use me now. Do you believe it? With his blessing, when we're like that, we will be a church on the move, following the Master, in 2022. I pray, I do, as I look out into the future, I don't know what storms may come, but I pray that I will be this man when I'm in them. And I have all of you as my brothers and sisters to spur me on, to encourage me, to uplift me, to help carry my burdens. For God gives each of us one another for that purpose. Let's go out and glorify Him this year. And when the storms come, remember who you belong to. Remember His promises to you. And remember that you serve Him. And you will be used in God's ways, the way He has planned for you to His glory. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for showing us this with Paul. Lord, we do know trials are ahead. Lord, they may be on us as we speak. There may be those here today or tuning in and listening that are in a trial. Lord, remind them of these three precious truths. Lord, let us be used for your glory in all circumstances. And Lord, yes, it is a blessing in the calm, sunny seas. And we thank you for them. But Lord, let us thank you for the stormy storms that come upon us. Lord, use us mightily for your glory in them. Let us encourage one another to stay the course, stay at the wheel. Lord, we belong to you. We thank you by your grace and love and your sacrifice. Lord, we just thank you for this. Lord, we thank you that we have the ability to serve you, for Lord, it is not a heavy yoke. It is a light, light, wonderful yoke that is pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you for this privilege to serve you. And Lord, we believe everything you say. I thank you one day, Lord, that you will bring us right into your presence. For Jesus, you are the rock on which we stand. In your precious name, we pray. Amen.